Good morning, everyone. Continuing this time of preaching through my sabbatical. This is the third of four sermons. I'm just sharing a little bit with you about what we encountered, what we discovered along the way. This is a poem by Mary Oliver. I suppose the Lord said, "Let there be fur upon the earth, and let there be hair upon the earth." And so the seeds stuttered forward into ripeness, and the roots twirled in the dark to accomplish God's desire. And so there is clover, and the reeds of the marshes, and the eelgrass of the sea shallows upon which the dainty sea branch live. And there is the green and sturdy grass and the goldenrod and the splurge and the yarrow and the ivies and the bramble and the blue iris covering the earth, thanking the Lord with their blossoms. Let's pray together. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It was not always easy for me to pay attention to things this summer on sabbatical. My mind was elsewhere. I had to locate the nearest shawarma shop and calculate how late the bus would be, and would that send my youngest child into tears? And what kind of tears? Tears of frustration or hunger or exhaustion? How to remedy those tears? Where was the nearest ice cream shop? There was overnight parking to locate and an electrical vehicle to recharge, which I had to figure out in French, which I do not read or speak or understand. There were groceries to buy. And I always had to locate the nearest place to get a suite to pay the tax on my children's boredom. There were children to keep alive in oceans, in rivers, in lakes. And there were so many things to keep track of. Tins of slime and goggles, a favorite t-shirt, a skateboard, a rock from somewhere that was special, but no one could exactly remember where it was from. Headphones, a lid to a jelly jar, a tuft of sheep pulled from a fence. And then, from time to time, something would break into all of it. I was surprised to see Mont Blanc at sunset when the snow turned pink like it was topped with cotton candy. I would turn the corner to find a cliff jutting hundreds of feet to where icy clear water waited for anyone who would scramble and fly down. One evening, I saw a boy on a roof flying a kite made of trash bags as the sky turned from gold and then to red and then to blue. You crown the year with your bounty. Your wagon tracks overflow with richness. The pastures of the wilderness overflow. The hills gird themselves with joy. The meadows clothe themselves with flocks. The valleys deck themselves with grain. They shout and sing together for joy. These are words from a psalm that is sung at harvest time, when there's a good harvest. When olives grow ripe and fat on trees for heads of wheat that are full and golden. It's not always easy to attend to meadows and flocks and valleys and grain when you're bringing in a harvest. Because there's threshing and hauling to be done. It's work, it's labor. Every morning, heavy lifting and sore arms and backs. But then the psalmist looks up and is surprised by the extravagance of God's world. Even the tracks left by wagons that haul grain from the fields are overflowing with abundance. What's remarkable for the singers of this song is not simply the beauty and the abundance of this world, because they know that the world can also be chaos and destruction. There are also floods and droughts. The roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, the tumult of the people. Nature isn't kind and good, but God is. The God who creates us, who creates olives and grapes and rain showers, this God redeems everything, including us. It doesn't have to be the blue iris. It could be the weeds in a vacant lot or a few small stones. Just pay attention, then patch a few words together. Don't try to make them elaborate. This isn't a contest, but the doorway into thanks and a silence in which another voice may speak. Mary Oliver wrote those words about praying. Our attending, our wondering, assumes this. I am here, and the God who loves me loves the world. Attention is love. Love requires noticing. And giving our attention to the world is a way for us to love God. When we read the Psalms like the one we heard today, we're observers of a relationship between God and non-human creatures. We're getting to listen in on the symphony between a conductor and her players, a swelling crescendo of joy and abundance. Reading these Psalms of creation's response to God, we know that this exchange would go on whether or not we were listening in, whether or not we were paying attention to it. Mountains will be girded, and the pathways of the mornings will shout for joy, whether I attend to those or not. They go on playing, whether I stop to hear it or not. The theologian Mari Jorsted reminds us that the psalmist knows something about creation's praise because the psalmists have been paying attention. The poets of the Psalters have practiced. They've practiced training their ears and their eyes to observe the worship of non-human beings. Over the summer, more often than not, I needed to be taken by the arm to pay attention, to be turned from groceries and packing towards this community of praise that was welling up around me. And there were so many opportunities for attention to be called into this concert of God's love. One morning, we looked out lightheaded at the peaks of Mont Blanc in the French Alps at the top of a gondola. Wick and Etta were surprised and delighted by the sea creatures they saw gliding through the waters of Calanque National Park in southern France. We watched sheep lumber through bogs, and we skipped across the geometric shapes of basalt that formed the Giant's Causeway. These magnificent encounters reminded me that there's so much to notice. The praise that goes on in a steaming compost pile, the way that fire flickers as brush burns, the arrival of goldfinches on the brown remnants of summer coneflowers. The hills gird themselves with joy. And that might, if we give it enough practice, seep deeper into us. The one who creates is the one who redeems. We are not left alone in this world. We too are a part of a joyful abundance of noticing. And perhaps that's one of the most important things of all. Remainder of a Life by Mahmood Darwish. If I were told, by evening you will die, so what will you do until then? I would look at my wristwatch. I'd drink a glass of juice, bite an apple, contemplate at length an ant that has found its food, then look at my wristwatch. There'd be time left to shave my beard, dive in a bath, obsess. There must be an adornment for writing, so let it be this blue garment. I'd sit until noon alive at my desk, but wouldn't see the trace of colors in the words, white, white, white. I'd prepare my last lunch, pour wine in two glasses, one for me and one for the one who will come without appointment. Then I'd take a nap between two dreams. But my snoring would wake me. So I'd look at my wristwatch, and then there would be time left for reading. I'd read a chapter in Dante and half of a Mualaka and see how my life goes from me to the others. But I wouldn't ask who would fill what's missing in. That's it then? That's it. That's it. Then what? Then I'd comb my hair and throw away the poem, this poem, in the trash, and put on the latest fashion in Italian shirts, parade myself in an entourage of Spanish violins, and walk into the grave. To you, all creatures shall come. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, your holy temple. You are the hope of all the ends of the earth, the farthest sea. What do seas hope for? How do ants and koala bears and bacteria draw near to God? How do we think of our time not as wasted, but purpose for watching the length of space an ant travels for food to dive into a bath? The psalmist knows something about creation's praise because the psalmist has been paying attention. It takes a bit of practice to be pulled into the chorus of creatures who meet a creator and redeemer. Perhaps we should take a time to practice now together. If you're near a window, could I ask you just to go and open it? They only open a little. They're toddler friendly. And I'm going to give us just 3 minutes to pay attention. Over these 3 minutes, what do you see and what do you hear? What draws your attention? What new ways can we learn to love? Let's pay attention together. Amen.